Well, hello, dads, and welcome to the Dad Nation podcast, March 2024. DK's in the house.
Yes, I am back.
You're back. Is this second, third?
This is the second time.
Second time. Those of you that don't know DK, DK is a part of the Dad Camp staff, huge part of the team, and happy to have him in Matt's absence this month. Couldn't get that physician schedule to work as that seems to happen, but gives us opportunities to just get some other voices on here, and I know Matt's happy about that as well. So welcome to the podcast. If you've never listened before, we are just this podcast is an extension of a ministry called Dad Camp. You can find more about Dad Camp at dadcamp.org. We're an events-based ministry that is just on mission to build stronger fathers who build stronger children. We have a dream to see a world where every family has a great dad. And this podcast, we just started about 3 years ago just as an extension, as a way to just encourage dads all over the world. And so thankful for those that are listening. Please pass on to your friends. This is just intended to be a once-a-month way to encourage you as a father. So thank you for listening, and we're excited to jump into a really important conversation today. But before we do that, we have the question of the day. And this question of the day comes from our staff, and our board of directors does an annual retreat. And last month was the month that we did that. And on the way up, one of our staff members, Emily Knabel, gave us these really cool goodie bags. And then they had this like questions attached to the bag. And we were all supposed to like ask our traveling partners as we headed up to Michigan these different questions, and it was a lot of fun. And so we decided to go with one of those questions today, and the question was, DK, when you think of your childhood and your dad, is there a song that when you hear it just kind of brings back memories of you, of him, your childhood, or your relationships, so just something along that line? And I remember you had I loved the answer to your question. So roll.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, I will do that. We were saying before we went on that I will keep this short version, but my answer was immediate. I think I kind of went in the middle of everybody else's answers, but Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli. And
I was just not expecting this in the car.
It was you, your lovely wife, your lovely daughter, and then our regional South director, Eric Viederheft. And I said, Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli, and just like the laughter and confusion that ensued. But
no disrespect.
My father had, you know, he was a farmer. He was a farmhand. Our entire life.
Milli Vanilli.
And he had a worn out cassette of Milli Vanilli that we never expected him to have.
Who's your farmer?
I know. It's incredible. There will be people that are like, this is a joke. This is a rib. It's not a rib. He had this cassette. He listened to it on repeat, as we would say now.
And what was his reaction when he found out the truth?
When he found out that it was all Memorex, that it was all lip syncing, he was as devastated as I've ever seen him. I mean, this guy went through a lot in his life, and his family
went
through
a lot.
That was the moment. Like, there was a time where I vividly recall my father laying on his back on his bed, listening to Milli Vanilli and being sad when it used to make him so happy.
Blame It on the Rain.
Yeah, I told you guys. I said I would love to ask him, like, why did that cut so deep? But I haven't done that yet.
This is a future father-son encounter.
It really is. We've had some really deep talks over the years.
Right, you got 12 months. We're going to come back in 12 months, and we're going to see the follow-up to the question of the day.
So yours was not Milli Vanilli, but yours was really a great answer. I'm sorry. Your daughter's was really a great
That
answer.
Was special.
Yes.
So, yeah, she answered. She went back to the very first dad camp that I took her on. Before we even had dad camp, this ministry, I took her to this father father-daughter, if you're listening, father-daughter camp up in the UP, and we took a 10.5-hour drive to get there. Mm-hmm. And she said there was this song that was playing on the radio at that time, and when she hears to that song today, it takes her back to that drive that, you know, we were singing at the top of our lungs, like, you know, I'm trying to remember. It's like I can see.
I just lost it. I just had it, and I just lost it.
Somebody you used to know. And
yes.
I don't know if I've heard that song for another in the last 10 years, but back then.
So safe that was to it. Say that that song is the what we would call in our family like the vacation song, the summer song, the road trip song that launched Dad Camp. That's in the threads of Dad Camp.
It's in the threads of Dad Camp. And yeah, so just the power, the reminder for that was, because we have dads that are like, I'm not going to drive 3 hours to go to Dad Camp. That's too far. If it's more than an hour, like we drove more than 10 hours.
Right.
Dad Camp wouldn't exist if Doug or I hadn't taken those trips up with our kids to get Dad Camp, for God to birth that in us. But it's the trip that our kids talk about as much as the event that we went to. Mm-hmm. It's the memories that we created in the car, like singing those songs, the places we stopped. In fact, Jade and I still talk about the different restaurants that we mm-hmm. ate at. There's a whole nother story there too. I've got so many stories from the trip, not so much from the event. Mm-hmm. So guys.
Yeah.
None of this 2-3 hour. It's too far. Like
when we say,
would say it's actually better. It's take advantage that you have 3-4 hours in a car, just you and your son or daughter to go
have an
adventure,
relationship. Adventure. So, absolutely.
So yeah, that was good to hear that, and it was we had fun answering that question. So, all right, we've been working through a resource that we used last fall at our events, a book called Parenting by Andy and Sandra Stanley. Really, we have felt like that resource as a parenting tool is second to none.
Agreed.
Again, regardless of how you may or may not feel about Andy Stanley, if you know that, even know the name Andy Stanley, I don't even mm-hmm. know, but... what's in that book has been so helpful for me as I read it. I'm like, man, I wish I had this back when I got started. We're going to fast forward a little bit through the book to a chapter on spiritual formation for this mm-hmm. conversation because, you know, to me, this is like the meat, the hub of the culmination of where this book takes you. And it really... helps you understand the lens from which it was written. Andy's a pastor, so and it was the when. We've talked about the book's called Getting It Right. Like, mm-hmm. what is it? What is your it as a dad? What is your parenting it as a family? And for them, you know, the ultimate win, the ultimate it, was that each of their children would develop a faith in Christ. Of their own, mm-hmm. not something that, hey, just because I'm a pastor, you got to believe this, or you got to, mm-hmm. But that their children would choose a faith in Christ and a relationship with Jesus on their own. And so they wanted to do everything they could to inspire and equip their children to trust God and follow Jesus. And that is the ultimate, I think, win for us here at Dad mm-hmm. Camp, for me and DK. And so he wrote a chapter that we're going to, kind of go through today. And that chapter was based on, now that they have adult children, they actually asked their kids, what did we do that helped cultivate and help you choose a faith of your own for yourself? What were some of the things that really, really marked you, that really helped form you, so that then we can pass this on as we write this book? Because we might have our opinions, but if our kids don't think that, the response of their kids, which I love.
Yes,
getting it firsthand from them, what really meant a difference. And so he says at the beginning, as we jump into these responses that their kids had, and then we're just going to add, DK, are going to add our personal, mm-hmm. Experience in some of these ways, and in some other things as well. But, you know, the Stanleys would say, and I would agree, what happens at home is far more catalytic than what happens at church. And then, you know, as a person of faith, if your believing doesn't impact your living, then people often say, like, why believe? Like, you might be preaching this, but if you're not living it, what's the point? And something that I'm super passionate about, you are as well, is I think that this is even more important and more critical for fathers, because of what we know to be true about what we call a spiritual father factor. And we've shared this a lot at our different events, and we've shared it in the podcast prior. We've called it the 80% rule. We've heard other research that they say 90% of a family will follow a father in his faith. And if the father is not leading spiritually, that number drops to 17% that of a family will follow a mother in her faith. And then 3% of a family will follow in their faith if they have neither parent leading the way. And so that is just I don't know how accurate that data is, mm-hmm. But even if that number was 50%,
right,
or 60% or 40%, the difference between the 40 and 17, mm-hmm. On a mom, or even if but 93% to 17%, again, no disrespect at all to our moms. They are doing everything they can, but there's just something the way God has knitted together the family and given this mm-hmm. influence to a father to lead the way spiritually. And if he doesn't, the likelihood of his kids finding faith is just dramatically lower. And so this idea of spiritual formation, this topic mm-hmm. for a dad is absolutely critical.
It's a must.
If you want your kids to have a faith of their own, what are you doing about it? Right. Are you living it out? Are you just telling them about it? Are you, not just talking about it, but are you being about it? So, and so as we describe this, we would also say, we're not talking about just a heaven someday faith, mm-hmm. like, hey, make this decision so you get across the line so when you die, you go to heaven. This is follow Jesus. Follow mm-hmm. when Jesus said, follow me, this is a come and die. This is a call to giving your life up, to living it out, to following Jesus in the day-to-day. This is a relationship mm-hmm. with Christ. This is not a religion. This is a relationship. And so let's jump in. My friend,
sounds great.
They had five things mm-hmm. that they these kids, the Stanley family, highlighted as having the biggest impact on them developing a faith of their own. And so the first one was something kind of like I just said, but the first one was that they saw their parents emphasizing a personal mm-hmm. relationship with God. When you read that, mm-hmm. and you think about your own fathering mm-hmm. and a personal relationship with God, what does that mean to you?
I mean, it just means, I don't ever want, rather, I wouldn't want my children, our children, my wife and I, we wouldn't want our children to just do what we're doing because we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Because whenever, they move on, they move away, we go away, we pass away, whatever that is, whenever that is, we want to make sure that whatever they have built and learned to rely on, that it's theirs. It's not, I don't know what to do because you're not here to show me. That is a question I hope all, parents want you want to be needed as a dad.
Of course.
But you also want your children to know that, yes, I love my father. I can call him anytime. I can ask him any question. But I have a heavenly father that I can lean on even more. And
yeah.
So that's what it meant, was they see our relationship. They see how we do it.
Yep.
But find your own way. When do you pray? How do you pray? When you're feeling that.
Why do you choose what you choose?
Why do you choose what you choose?
You're not like this, hey, I checked my boxes today.
Right.
Every day at 7 a.m. I pray.
Right.
Every Sunday at 9 o'clock we get ready to go to church.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
These mechanical, ritualistic.
Because if they form a habit based off of your habits, then it's not their habit to break, and it's not their habit to rebuild if it starts to fracture. you know, and I want them to have their own way, their own faith,
yeah.
and base it off of our relationship with them, but their own personal relationship with God.
Yep. He had a couple, like he said, his dad, Andy's dad, taught him this prayer that he said, it was, God, show me your will for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple prayer, but just that emphasis is like, you're asking God to show me your will. Mm-hmm. So that's personal. Like, I want to do what you are inviting me into. I'm not mm-hmm. going to do what I'm doing. Like, and the only way to know what God wants you to do is to have a relationship with him.
Exactly.
And so the only way to discover the will is in relationship. So I love that. I just like that just that simple, you know, and I'm sure his dad would say the same thing as a family or for himself, like, you know, God, show me your will for my life. Mm-hmm. God, show me your will for us as a family. I love that. One of the prayers that that I taught my kids was just help me to see as you see and to do as you say. Mm-hmm. And again, the only way I can see as God sees or say what God says is to know God.
Right.
It's not this mechanical thing. This is like, I want to know you so that I can do and say what I believe you would say. So I thought that was really helpful. And for my kids, I think it helped them then see, like, okay, mom and dad, like, this is their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And now then hopefully they saw an actionable life of trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so kids, it says, he said also, kids ask oftentimes, like, you know, and I've had my kids tell me before, and I was like, man, I wish I would have maybe responded this way a little bit more. But they often ask us, what should I do, Dad?
Right.
Mom, what should I do? And maybe sometimes the answer is like, hey, I just want you to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to do what you sense God leading you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just letting them, like, oh, it'd be a lot easier, Dad or Mom, if you just tell me what to do. Like, no, I want you to do what you think God would tell you to do.
Yeah.
And then let them do it. And then talk about it. And let them start to depend on God and see God work. Invite God in to that. So
that's, yeah. I mean, our children are less than or more than half the age of yours. And we're working towards that. And there's freedom in it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and that's incredible.
This next one, over the last, I'd say, year for me, is getting more and more. I mean, I just feel like the importance of it is to me, and the more I want to tell dads. And it's the idea of teaching your kids to pay attention to their hearts.
Guard your heart.
And it comes from Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, and the beginning of that verse is what really should get our attention. It says, above all else. You're like, okay, like, there's a lot of things.
You've said a lot.
But above all else,
mm-hmm.
guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not do this, do that. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So, you know, here's this advice in Scripture saying, if you do anything, I mean, there's a lot of things in Scripture, but if you do anything, guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids, they said to their parents, you helped us understand what that mm-hmm. means and did that for us. And that was a huge part of us cultivating this faith. And you know, Jesus, you know, would agree. I mean, he said, you know, out of the heart comes evil thoughts like murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Jesus said that, like, out of the heart. So that's why guarding your heart is so important, because if we don't, man,
mm-hmm.
what comes out of it can take you down.
Yes.
For the count. This is good stuff.
I
just think, oh, if we just did this one thing.
Right. And it was so cool because Bridget, your wife Bridget, developed the student breakout content this year, and that was one of the verses we used. And so being able to speak that into the students this year and literally say, above all else, like, and just stop there.
Yep.
What does that mean? You know, and the students, it means more than anything. Yes. You know, and being able to speak that and say, you know, if this goes in, what do you think is going to come out? you know, so it's just, it's so good. It's so strong, so simple.
I mean, yeah, if we could get our kids to understand what's going on in their hearts and to, you know, and to understand to protect it, that their heart is they need to protect it. You know, and I love this. I thought this was such a good point. There's a lot of people in our kids' lives, even in my life, there's a lot of places that are reinforcing our behaviors consistently, school, you know, sports, activities where there's reinforcing of behaviors and performance. But there's not really anyone else out there helping us guard our hearts.
Right.
So like
– Yeah, when I read that, I was like, well –
slap in the face.
There it is.
Like, that's so right. Like, you know what? Maybe if I don't reinforce behavior performance as much as I should, at least I know that – when my kids go to school or they're going to underneath a coach that they're playing sports for or whatever, they're going to get some of that reinforced. They're going to learn about you know, obedience and things and see some of these other environments. But no one's asking my kids about guarding their hearts and helping them pay attention to their hearts. That is on me, like above all else. Like,
I remember reading this good. Like postseason or preseason and then postseason and try, like, my plan was to stop after I read like point number two, like, you know, it was at the end of my reading time, my quiet time, whatever. And I read that, I'm like, I can't stop there. That is so much. Like, I can't end on that. That's a lot. That's a, like you said, slap in the face, punch in the gut, pat on the back, whatever you want to look at it is like, you've got this, or you have no idea what you're doing. I couldn't stop there because I thought, I've got a lot to figure out with a 12-year-old and two 10-year-olds. So
yes, sir. So there's a list of questions that they give that I think, and I'm just going to read them because I think as you're listening, if you don't have the book or if you're just listening and you're growing, you're learning and you're understanding, like, hey, first of all, go memorize, teach your kids Proverbs 4:23, implement that into life of your family. But these questions that they said, this is how we helped our kids guard their hearts. Is everything okay in your heart? Did anybody hurt your feelings today? Are you mad at anybody? Are you worried about anything? Did anybody break a promise to you today? Is there anything you want to tell me, but you're not sure how? I mean, these are great questions to, you know, I wouldn't say like you ask all six every day, but like pick one every, you know, when your kids are going to bed, like, hey, you mad at anybody? No? Okay.
Awesome.
It's great. But yeah. Tell me about that. What's going on there? What's the root of that? Is there a story there? And, you know, anybody hurt your feelings today? Yeah, you know, because we don't give our kids often the space to do that, and we don't really evaluate what's going on in there. Because if we don't help them guard their hearts, and these things are going on, then out of the heart comes
everything comes angst, this junk. It's just stuff
and,
that
So that's just huge. I think, man. If we do that as parents, as dads, help our kids guard their hearts, I think we're going to win. Third thing that their kids said was just a powerful thing for them was this prayer. I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but you know, but are we doing it? You know, men, are you a prayer warrior? Are you, you know, do your kids see you pray? Do your kids hear you pray? Do you teach your kids how to pray? Do you give your kids opportunity to pray? Because all that's showing is this is a conversation. Like, this is a relationship.
It's like not some scripted thing. I mean, there are ways to pray that you can start with, but I think our children have learned in our house that it is a conversation. When in doubt, have a conversation. God already knows your heart. He wants you to voice it. He wants you to speak it.
You guys, I think, if I'm remembering right, you know, you got a kind of somewhat of a time around your meal times that, you know, talk a little bit about that, like that, where you bring prayer into that.
Absolutely. Well, we're not as disciplined as the Stanley family in this. Oftentimes, especially the twins, will just, if there's bread on the table, they love their bread.
Yep.
And if there's bread, they're eating it before, you know, we're done sitting down. But we always stop and pray. No, like, and no one's in trouble. Like, I get it. You're excited, you know, or hungry, or both. But we stop, we pray. But then around that conversation is we always start with best part of your day, you know, high, low, whatever. Sometimes we call it something. We started with high, low. Sometimes the lows can get pretty low.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. A lot of times we'll say, we're so glad you shared that.
That's another, I think, guard your heart question.
Absolutely. And then we're able to either address it in the moment. If it's something, you know, my wife and I, she sits to my left, we'll kind of give a wink and a nod, like, we need to talk about that with him later. But it gives us an opportunity to pray. Or, and sometimes we're not as good at that. Like, we don't pick up on it. And then you realize a few times later, it's like, oh, man, that was really heavy on him. But we love the high-low, best part of your day, where did you see God today, whatever we start with. It's kind of a different – and one of us starts with it. It just kind of depends on the mood because yep. they don't always want to be as heavy. But it really has helped us transition into how did that make you feel? So it's just – it's so good.
And I'm sure like – and then what are – now we have things to pray about.
Exactly. Especially so when it's something that, you know, a low.
Yep.
But we always tell them, start with celebration in your prayer, if at all possible.
And that, you know, I love that too.
Yeah, like, what are you happy for? What are you, and then pray for somebody else before you pray for yourself. We know, like, God knows but what does it feel like to think of somebody else?
Somebody else. Mm-hmm. Celebrate what God's doing.
Yep.
Celebrate who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be praying on behalf of someone else.
Yeah. When in doubt, say thank you.
I learned that too about prayer too, about just,
yeah.
you know, when maybe you're not in a battle, in a valley, but someone is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to pray when you're in the valley. You need your people to be praying for you, intercessory prayer, like on behalf, helping you fight that battle. Because when you're in the battle, it just feels like it's a fight. Mm-hmm. And I've feel like that's so powerful, like that we pray for others because, you know, there's times when we're in the battle and we need that prayer. And so Absolutely. When we're not in the battle, let's be praying for others and the battles that they're facing. So
yeah, we do also, if the boys, if we notice, oh, he grabbed his dinner roll first. It's not a punishment, but Jameson, you're gonna pray first, buddy. This is, you know, and then they do, and so proud of them for that, because, you know, they're stepping a little outside of their comfort zone, but they step into this moment of, okay, all right, and then they just start with a thank you. Yeah.
So prayer, guys. Huge. The fourth thing they said was just that that their parents were very open about their faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
That they saw mom and dad when things were hard and struggling, and they had some doubts and they had mm-hmm. some questions. They were open about that. It wasn't just this glossy, everything's perfect kind of thing. They saw like how faith really informed their parents' actions and reactions. Like, they reacted that way. Man, other people reacted different. Why did they react this way? Because of their faith, because of you know, their relationship with Christ. So things like, you know, I know in my, I think my kids have said, like, that was one thing for them that was, you know, mom and dad, you were so open about, you know, why are we generous as a family?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and giving us the reasons why. Why are we open about our relationship, that the challenges that we're facing? Why are you open about your failures and bringing in the stories of others? I think is so powerful in terms of their faith journeys. And so I think for me, as I thought about that too, was like there was this concept called bless that came into my life probably when we were early on in parents, and not something I made up, something I learned through church. And
mm-hmm.
But it just – it was a concept of living, of like just being, living a blessed, a life where you're blessing others, mm-hmm. Be a blessing, be blessed, you know. And, you know, the be and bless was begin with prayer, but it was rooted in like that every interaction that you have in a day as a divine appointment. And that rocked my perspective on life. And I still have to remind myself, like, every opportunity, that every person you come across in the day is a chance for you to bless someone. Or it's a look at it as a divine appointment. Like, why did God bring you together that day for that moment to have that conversation? And when I started inviting God into every interaction, when I have, I do not do this all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm not, but when I have, I've seen the whole prayer, God help me to see as you see and do as you mm-hmm. say, comes alive. And so teaching my kids that whole idea of bless, you know, listening and sharing your story and serving and eating, that's all part of that acronym. Mm-hmm. Then coaching, I think my kids saw, I coached all of them, and so they saw the best and worst of their dad.
Mine too.
I can be competitive at times, and there's some really good stories about Coach Braun in his worst moments. We're not going to talk about those today, but there's also hopefully the best. I think above all, like, you know, I prayed for my team. We had prayer at our games. I think at one point, Cole brought most all of his teammates to their dads came to dad camp at some mm-hmm. point, and those fathers were introduced to Jesus at some point because of the coaching that I did, and just to see that my kids, like, how my faith wasn't just you know, at work as I was a pastor, mm-hmm. but it was in the daily thing. And then I think another way for us that Bridget and I was asking questions. Mm-hmm. We asked our kids a lot of questions and tried to get them to understand the why behind, and let them ask questions. And that being open about our faith journey and the story of God's faithfulness along the way, because there's so many incredible things mm-hmm. in our lives and in everyone's lives where you're like, man, God showed up here. You're just faithful. God will show up. So, yeah, anything there that you wanted to add on the opening of your faith journey?
Really, I mean, just we're so, as our children are younger, of course, but they have questions, right? Like you said, the whys. I mean, even when their Uncle Baker was baptized a couple of Septembers ago, you know, our boys, they had already been baptized. Baker, his faith journey is a little bit more askew than some, but in that wildcat that day, in the river that day, they had a lot of questions coming out. Well, why did he wait so long? Well, because he's stubborn, you know, or, you know, what did it mean to him? And that allowed us to tell our children our own stories of our faith, and that our journeys are so different.
Yep.
And what a way to celebrate the uniqueness that we all have and how we're made.
Awesome. Awesome. Last one. And I think this one, as I read it for DK and I would say this has been very special for us too. Mm. The Stanley kids said that their parents keeping them engaged in the life of their church was pivotal in their faith journey. I see you today as you're raising your boys and the way that you're involved in the life of your local church. And I see how Bridget and I raised our kids in that season in the life of our local church. That was so, like, I always see, like, the local church is, this is your community of faith. They're your, you know, this is like, you know, you partner with the local church. As a family, you partner with the local church to raise your kids. Mm-hmm. So that was so, and for me, the part inside the local church that to me brought the most value to my kids and to our marriage and to me personally would be small groups.
Yes.
Would be community, would be life in community, doing life together. To see my kids with a small group leader that's one generation, but five, mm-hmm. 6 years older, that's pouring into them, that's going into scripture with them, and they're like, wow, like, look at this. I think of, you know, you're a fan of Mr. Kyle Sanders these days and yes. follow him in basketball. I know that we're speaking about someone most people don't know, but I remember Kyle Googling. Was 4 years or so behind my son, and I remember mm-hmm. like Kyle thought my son was like the guy. Like, I just mm-hmm. remember them at church and that relationship.
Which is how my children view Kyle.
Exactly.
Which is so cool.
Exactly. Yep. And going back into the Maple family, if the Maples mm-hmm. are listening, but for my son, it was Kyle Maple. You know, so, but that's keeping your kids engaged in life local church. We'll just finish with this. He said in the book, if your church isn't helping you become a better parent and equipping your kids to develop a faith of their own, find another church. Mm-hmm. That is strong, but I really agree. If your church isn't helping you become a better parent and equipping your kids to develop a faith of their own, find another church. But keep your kids engaged mm-hmm. in the life of the local Church. DK, I'm going to pull up my phone here because I got a text to share.
I'm excited.
If you got anything to add to any of this. But in light of what this book did, they asked their kids for feedback as to what led to them cultivating a faith of their own, the things that their parents did. And so I thought, you know what? I'm an empty nester now. I'm going to step out and ask my kids the same question. Mm-hmm. And I literally did this morning. So I gave them no lead time to think about this, process this.
Classic
and I told
Jason.
Them I needed it by noon. So I didn't know what I would get. I got some really, for me, this was powerful for me to hear. But so I'm just going to share, and I'm hoping as you're listening as a father, again, this is just coming from the perspective of young adult children, my kids, but young adults now who have an active faith of their own. I'm so thankful for that, that my kids are all following Jesus. They've chosen that for themselves. This is what they said about Bridget and I, in terms of for them, what they found to be so helpful. And hopefully what I'm passing on to you, just like this book is passing on what they learned, this is what I've got from my kids that hopefully you can, maybe there's something here. So here we go. One child says, living out your faith, making church a priority, just talked about that, making it important to support one another in our family, and always treating others with respect and love in situations it would probably be easy to do the opposite. Prayer before meals seems simple, but puts in a good value of being thankful for everything. Putting others before yourselves through pretty much always saying yes to volunteering. next child. To piggyback off of that, which would probably be a similar answer for me, is consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency through every aspect of your walk. Church, reading the Bible, devotionals, your serving, your generosity. You all made it clear very early on that your faith was important enough to make your entire life about it. So seeing that urgency or importance translated to me young that it was obviously important to care about, which turned into later in life for me a relationship with Christ. And then child, another response is very similar for me as well. Consistent would be the theme here. Serving, church, quiet, instilling what it looks like to have healthy relationships. Mom, forcing us to forgive each other and say we love each other.
I've heard those stories.
Yes. I would say for someone, this is them speaking about themselves, I would say for someone who struggled with wanting to just check the boxes and follow the rules early on in my faith, that the consistency from you as parents was so important as I got older. I learned to realize that you did all of those things because of your true relationship with God. Relationship is greater than religion. I think just being open to about how God was faithful in your lives. Whew.
Yeah, you
And so
you got me, you got you, you got me. So
a lot of what you heard the Stanley kid say, I heard you heard prayer. You heard being open about your faith journey. You heard keeping your kids engaged in the life of the local church. You heard, that consistency and teaching your kids pay attention to their hearts and that personal relationship with God. So you see a lot of the similar stuff. That was what my kids sent me this morning. And
no,
so
you and Bridget landed the it without even knowing what it was.
What it was. And that was really our it was that. Our kids would have a faith in Christ. I mean, other than that, I mean, really, everything else is a blessing because to me, and I think, we agree and as an organization too, that, it's in relationship with Jesus that life works best. Put God first, life works best. So,
yes.
Final 10%.
It's awesome. I don't know if I can add any more than your awesome children did. It's a it's a gift. It's a blessing to know them and to know you guys and to do this whole thing together. It's a blessing to do life with my wife and to, you know, you get to see our children. And Bridget have been, and your children have been so complimentary of them. It's also so important to know, dads, parents, we don't know what we're doing. You don't have to have it all figured out. Something I've said all, you know, since I started here was to the dads and the students is, you know, my son just turned 12, the twins just turned 10. I've never parented a 12-year-old until that day.
Yep.
I've never parented twin 10-year-olds until that day. So you don't need to have the whole things, all of the things figured out.
Nope.
You don't need to worry about what are they going to say when my 50-year-old dad messages me on a Thursday and says I need these answers by noon. Don't worry about figuring that out. Just know that if you lead by example and if you lead in the healthiest way possible, you respect your spouse, you make sure your children respect her and respect each other and love each other unconditionally, you're going to land the it, whatever that is. Your children are going to have a faith of their own, and they're going to be so excited to hang out with you longer later.
That's big. Mm-hmm. That's big. That's what we get to enjoy now, is that decision of our young adult kids, mm-hmm. to still choose to be with us. And so it's a great, great place to be. So thanks for listening, guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap up just really quick with some specific dad camp, some news that we're excited to share. But in 2 weeks is the big registration day. So that's March the 16th. Again, if you've never been to dad camp before, or even if you have, you need to remember that date and that time, 8 a.m., to be ready to go, because if you're not, things fill up really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. Within a few hours, probably 80, 90, maybe 100% this year. That's what I'm praying for.
It's been a lot.
That the spots will be filled. Yep. And that's a lot of spots, over 30 events to fill. We'll fill that quickly. And so get on our website, pick your date, pick your locations. There's not a bad one, remember. And 3-4 hours, even across the country, taking them on a little plane trip or a little longer road trip is never a bad thing. It'll make memories that will last for you forever. So that is coming really quick. We're celebrating in this past month. We had our Dad Camp Fuel events in Indiana. They were awesome. We had a team go to Uganda and serve. And in 1 week, more than 2,000 guests. Wow. I think we're over 800 dads. We saw many, many men accept Christ. We saw tons of transformation happen. We have a team also in Kenya. We're actually recording, though, this episode right before they leave. So I don't have the results on that, but I know it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
We're going to be there for a week doing 5 events. But going forward, please pray for the ministry. Pray for the ministry in Honduras, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Jamaica. These are all coming in the next couple of months, where God is opening doors, teams are going to serve, and we're asking God to do what only He can do. And then domestically, we're going to be in Hawaii. So, hey, there's an option for you. Go to the island of Kauai and come to Dad Camp in April. So you can register for that right now. So that's all in the world of Dad Camp. So be praying for us and be ready for registration day. And remember, you know, that if there's one thing you do, if there's one thing you put on your calendar this year, if you have school age kids, it's a dad camp weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They are can't miss annual deposits that you put into your life as a father. And at the same time, you're building incredible memories with alongside of your sons and daughters. So thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.
DK.
Yes, sir.
It was fun.
It was fun. It's always fun.
Always fun. So guys, as we like to say, you have what it takes. So go do whatever it takes to be the strongest father you can be. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you again next month.